Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. Vasudevaya. Shonaka Uvacha. Sarai Nivriti Nirita. Sarvatro Pekshako Muni. Kasyava Brahatim Etam Atparama Shamam Bhashat. Sri Shonaka asked Sukha Goswami. Sri Sukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? Purport: for the people in general, the highest perfection of life is to cease from material activities and be fixed on the path of self-realization. Those who take pleasure in sense enjoyment are those who are fixed in material bodily welfare work are called karmis. Out of thousands and millions of such karmis, one may become an aparama by self-realization. Apa means self, and arama means to take pleasure. Everyone is searching after the highest pleasure. The standard of pleasure of one may be different from the standard of another. Therefore, the standard of pleasure enjoyed by the karmis is different from that of the aparamas. The aparamas are completely indifferent to material enjoyment in every respect. Sukadeva Goswami had already attained that stage, and still he was attracted to undergo the trouble of studying the great Bhagavatam literature. This means that Srimad Bhagavatam is a postgraduate study even for the aparamas, who have surpassed all studies of Vedic knowledge. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksu Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Baye Bhacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New York, the Bhakti Center. It was quite a day yesterday. I got in on I missed all of you. It's almost been 10 days since I give class to any of you. And I just got in on Friday from a 10-hour flight. And we hit the ground running, and we had our seminar. And I was overwhelmed by how many people. I mean, I think we have 40 registered, and there was another 10 people that I guess came and are interested. And that's quite a commitment for a 9-week course. Of course, we'll see how the people go. And all kinds of people, from people who not yet believe in Krishna to, people who do. I mean, it was really it was really something. And it's amazing because Raghunath had a group of 30 people there in the Bhakti Center for a study of Bhakti for the weekend. And the teacher training had another 20 or something people with Dhyana and Shama and Bhadanjai. and the Sanskrit. So there must have been over 100 people in the Bhakti Center studying. And specifically, I know someone was opening up, wanted to open up a Bhakti Center someplace, and the leader said, But they were going to coordinate it with ISKCON, and then they asked the leader. He said, "Well, I'm more into, Karyanamin book distribution." And I love her answer. She said, "Well, this is how I want to distribute books." And I thought that 40 people means 40 Nectar of Devotions, and they actually study it. So anyway, we had a start, it was hard to remain as focused as I want due to the time difference and et cetera, but I tried, and I think people were appreciative. I may have to end a little earlier because I also give another class, and I got to really pace myself here. So we're in the Bhagavatam, and Shonaka Rishi, he's asked questions from Sutta Goswami. So Sutta Goswami said he's going to explain to him the Bhagavatam. So he wants a history of it first. History of the Bhagavatam means the history of the speakers. So this is the second speaker, Sukadeva, and he wanted to know the story of his inspiration, which was quite interesting because he was Atmarama. He was satisfied in the self, and there's great satisfaction in the self. But there's a greater happiness than self-realization, and that is God-realization. And that can inspire anyone if they're open. Somehow or other, it's almost like Krishna's trying to sneak in when you're not looking, a punch of faith. I know when Krishna knocked me out, it was the right time of my life. I don't say knocked me out, it's just the right time of my life, and innocent and open and no fixed conceptions or views, a little bit frustrated with material life. Not that frustrated with material life. And then boom, I heard the holy name of Krishna, and I heard the pastimes of Krishna, and I heard the philosophy of Krishna. And I became attracted. Now, in Sukadeva Goswami, you see, one thing it says about bhakti is that you can't be too attached or too detached. If you're too attached, the concept that I'm not the body is a horrifying experience because your whole conception of life and all your pleasures is based on you are the body. So that would be kind of frightening for you. You know, I remember just a typical one person was kind of met me and was interested in Krishna Kanta Bhakti immersion retreat and then was on a business trip. I was in Miami and she thought, well, I kind of like this Krishna consciousness. Vice president of a bank, you know, in New York. I'm interested in this Krishna consciousness. Let's go to the temple. Let's see what the temple is. And the first thing they see when they come into the temple is a big sign about the regulative principle. So naturally, you know, her husband said, well, you know, I don't think I'm into this. That's one thing. You know, we all have our views. If someone is really immersed, and at the same time, someone who has come to the conclusion that sense gratification is just suffering, and it's based on our identity, and therefore let me annihilate any thoughts of desire. And they actually achieve that they actually have absolutely no attraction to the material world. No attraction to the material world. And it's a satisfaction. Not that there's no pleasure in that. There's great pleasure in that, and it's much better than anything in the world. And that's called moksha, liberation. There is something that's going on, and it's just an awareness of being and a great relief and a great pleasure. So people like that, they don't like, you know, they're not interested in chanting and dancing. Like when Lord Chaitanya went to visit the Mayavadis in Allahabad, and they questioned him. Why are you just singing and dancing? That was their objective. What to speak of someone who's realized that? I mean, and you know, if we think about it in the world, we could get sick of the world too, and sick of our pettiness and sick of our ego. And our lust and our greed and all these things that just lead to fear. This attachment leads to fear. Because attachment means that what we're attached to we're going to lose. It just leads, it's a fearful existence. We just don't want to admit it. So a person can have that realization. I don't want any of this anymore. It just, and no, there's something better. And therefore, they realize Brahman. Brahman realized. And they have a certain conception of the self. And it's non-dual. And it's full of bliss. But if somehow or other Krishna can sneak in a mantra or two, or a description of Krishna, such people can be attracted. Bahunam janmanam mante yanavam mantapadyate vasudeva savamiti samahatma sudulabha. They can actually become attracted. We're reading Jivadharma where that, you know, in Varanasi where that impersonalist, you know, and he was meditating, and someone came along, chanting the holy name. And when someone came along chanting the holy name, it just some boom struck. And this is the way we come to Krishna consciousness. You know, there's an opening. Somehow or other, it's cosmic. The whole world, the whole evolutionary process. We don't know can I imagine how dynamic it is. The whole evolutionary process is meant to somehow or other open us up. And to some people, that may mean first becoming an impersonalist. And somehow or other, most people and the qualification for bhakti is they're kind of little spiritual, but not too detached, because they won't be attracted. That's the danger. They won't be attracted. But one down. I'm giving class now. Great idea. So he becomes Atmarama, self-satisfied. But then he hears the Bhagavatam. So that was the question that Shonaka Rishi asked. It's interesting. He was already pleased with his self, so why did he take the trouble to undergo this vast study? Because he realized that there's something higher. There's something higher. We see the mountain in the distance. We see the mountain. But there's something higher to see the mountain close up. We still see the mountain. Everything is the mountain. But we see the people. We see the streams of water. You see a person. So there's something higher than seeing the person. And higher than seeing the person is knowing the person. And higher than knowing the person is loving the person. And in that love, higher than that is the revelation of the person giving themselves. There's something higher. There's something higher than God's energy, and it's the source of God's energy. And therefore, Krishna is the highest manifestation of God because he's the personal aspect of God. He's the... Our understanding, the most common sense thing, is that being means love. And love means relationship. And the highest manifestation of being is their relationships. So he had some understanding of being, but now he's understanding the relationships that that being has. And there is a world, and this world is reflected from that world. There's a world of perfect, perfect relationships. There is a world of perfect relationships. And that world of perfect relationships is called the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is a description of the world of perfect relationships, encouraging us to enter into that. And isn't that what we want? We just can't get rid of our selfishness. We just can't get rid of our selfishness. And if we did get rid of our selfishness, then we'd experience perfect relationships. And it would somehow open up our love in perfect relationships to the greatest extent, which would extend to everything, which is God. Okay, let me go on. course, this is one of the most famous verses in the Bhagavatam. The next one, text 10. Sutta Uvacha. The Sutta is going to explain. Well, he's going to answer the question. Why did he study this? Atmaramascha munayo nirghanta upyukrame kurvanto hoita kim noktim itam bhuta kuno hari. All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in atma, the self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, so freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So it's just pointing out the simple fact that a person who is liberated, satisfied in the self, and doesn't take pleasure in anything material, can become attracted to the pastimes, the variegated pastimes of Krishna, means that the qualities of Krishna are not a product of the material world, but it's transcendental. Mayavadis believe that the relationship of the person of God, the matter, is that they are, that's material. And when you transcend that, you'll enter the spiritual realm, which doesn't have any distinction and variety. But here it says that when you get to that realm, if you're lucky, you'll hear about Krishna and become attracted to that. And it has nothing to do with the material world. Now, a Prabhupada in the purport, is going to kind of relate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he heard from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he listened, and then explained. He said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you're silent. He said, yeah, that's because I didn't understand. And Lord Chaitanya, oh wait, this says Lord Chaitanya explained, that's another one. But Lord Chaitanya, in his Sanatan Siksha, Lord Chaitanya's teachings basically came through Rupa and Sanatan directly, and then by Guru Parampara to others. But he explained to them, Sanatan Goswami, the Atmarama verse. And so we'll read the purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains this Atmarama Shloka very vividly before his chief devotee, Srila Sanatana Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the shloka, namely Atmarama, Munaya, Nirgranta, Apicha, Urukrama, Kurvanti, Kaitikim Bhakti, Itam, Bhuta Guna, and Hari. So Lord Chaitanya explains it in so many, I think it was 64 different ways, because each of the words has many, many meanings, all pointing to devotional service. According to the Vishva Prakash Sanskrit Dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atmarama, which are as follows: Brahman, the absolute truth, body, mind, endeavor, endurance, intelligence, and personal habits. The word munaya means those who are thoughtful, those who are grave and silent, ascetics, persistent, mendicants, sages, and saints. The word nirgranta conveys these ideas: one who is liberated from nescience, one who has no connection with scriptural injunction, That is, one who is free from the obligation to rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures, like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate urchins, etc., have no connection with regular principles. 3, capitalists, and also 4, one who is penniless. To explain all these words in different ways, again, great sages such as the 4 bachelor devotees, Sanaka, Sanat, and Sanandan, Sanat Kumar, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulsi leaves, anointed with the pulp of sandalwood, offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of his pastimes has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted by the bodily features of the Lord, and Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts, in special cases, the minds of all young girls. He attracts the minds of the elderly ladies by paternal affection. He attracts the mind of the male in the humors of servitude and friendship. Anyway, the idea was, by interpreting each and every word of this shloka, one could see the unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of the pure devotee. So he described this verse, this Atmarama, one who is satisfied in the self, and Lord Chaitanya, who is a Sanskrit scholar, took the 11 different words and showed through each of the words how it promotes the qualities, the glories of Krishna's transcendental qualities. Sukadeva Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration. Purport. According to Brahma Vivarta Purana, Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul, even within the womb of his mother. Vyasadeva knew that the child, after his birth, would not stay at home. Therefore, he, Vyasadeva, impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that the child could maybe be attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. After his birth, the child was still more educated in the subject of Bhagavatam by recitation of the actual poems. The idea is that generally liberated souls are attracted to the feature of impersonal Brahman with a monistic view, becoming one with the Supreme Whole. By the association of pure devotees like Vyasadeva, even a liberated soul becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So this is just a fact that the most powerful way to learn about character is not just hearing about it, but seeing it exemplified in a person. And it's the same thing, even in one sense, with defeating impersonalism. You can do it by philosophy. But better, better, one exemplifies the joy, the transcendental joy of someone who is glorifying Krishna and doing kirtan. And that's one of the main ways that we advance in spiritual life. Our own frame of reference may have a negative give a negative connotation to good qualities. And there's just an example of that in Vrindavan, where someone, I met them once in Russia. Now they were in Vrindavan. They came to see me. And the person was, it was like a music band, a devotee, but a music band. And it's famous in Russia. And they came to see me, and they were devotees. And there was one Russian-speaking guru. He's very, very nice. Chaitanya Charan. Chandra Charan. He's very, very nice. And so they were inspired for initiation for him, but he has many, many disciples. So I don't know. Somehow they had so many doubts. Not only doubts, but attachments. And attachments to kind of control and ego so you know, I saw that the thought of humility was kind of like, just looked like the worst thing in the world. It's almost a fear of weakness. So only when people have some scars and natures, which we all do, when we have some scars and natures that are troubling, you know, we're just not attracted. You know, we're the demon and the devotee in the same body. We're just not attracted to humility and surrender. Not our samskara dependence. You know, we have to hear and clarify our doubts to actually explain what these concepts are, because sometimes we project our own conceptions on them. So, you know, humility becomes a lack of self-confidence, we think, or low self-esteem, or weakness, or you don't see the power in it. We project. So philosophically, it's good to hear the right conceptions, because all good qualities, when they're properly presented, are attractive. But also we need them... exemplified. We need to see them in action so that we can actually be attracted to them. We need to see them in action so we actually be attracted to them. So, even though he had this no desire, this impersonal tendency, when he saw them exemplified in the pages of the Bhagavatam, they didn't look mundane. you actually see and understand deeply. They don't look mundane. Rather, they look like the blooming of spirituality is love and this type of exchange. The idea is that generally liberated souls are attracted to the feature of impersonal Brahman, the mystic view of becoming one with the Supreme Whole. By the association of pure devotees like Vyasa, they, even liberated souls, become attracted to transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was able to grasp the import. So Vyas could narrate it, and also there, with that narration came prayer for his son, the blessings of a devotee. The blessings of the devotee are important because his Krishna is attractive. The devotee wants to satisfy him. So if the devotee, satisfying the devotee means satisfying the devotee's desires. And if the devotee's desire is your welfare, then it can inspire Krishna to inspire you. Of course, it has to come from their own heart. Transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Sukadeva Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in personal Brahman and positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. Practically, he was thrown from the impersonal conception of the Absolute, thinking with himself that he simply wasted so much time in devoting himself to the impersonal feature of the Supreme. In other words, realize more transcendental bliss with the personal feature than the impersonal. Some of you may have met my cousin, very dear to me, Ma Seva Bharti, and she's a sannyasini in the Himalayas, and she's really a sannyas. She never had to work because her mother left her a trust, and this $1 million house in Brooklyn. It must have, one apartment alone had 7 rooms, and it was 3 stories. And she gave it all to her older brother because she took sannyas. So even, I wanted her to visit me. I paid for a ticket, I paid for a taxi, and she came stay with me. And, somehow or other, she didn't have this disdain for the personal conception. She just thought that the impersonal conception is higher. So that's the difference between her and a Mayavadi. A Mayavadi really has disdain for the personal feature of God. So she came to Vrindavan, and she was doing a meditation, and she was saying, what is this sweetness here? What is this sweetness here? What is this sweetness here? And I took her to Govardhan for the Govardhan retreat, and she even became more convinced. What is this? It's even more sweet. It's even more sweet. She started chanting 16 rounds, and then before she left the retreat, she came to me and she said, her father was a German ancestry. Heck. So she said, 32 years. Susan Hecht, daughter of Milton and Edna Hecht, 32 years. Ma Seva Bharti. Disciple of Swami Rama. Okay, and I thought she was 64, and then she was going to say 32 years, you know, like, what's coming up now? Anyway, she went back to the Himalayas, but was chanting 16 rounds for a long time. But she became attractive, because it's so natural. That time not only become very dear to the Vishnu Jans, the devotees of the Lord, but also the Vishnu Jans became very dear to him. The devotees of the Lord who do not wish to kill the individuality of living entities and the desire to become personal servitors of the Lord do not very much like the impersonalists. And similarly, the impersonalists who desire to become one with the Supreme are unable to evaluate the devotees of the Lord. Thus, from time immemorial, these two transcendental pilgrims have sometimes become competitors. In other words, each of them likes to keep separate from the other because of the ultimate personal and impersonal realization. Therefore, it appeared that Sukadeva also had no liking for the devotees. You don't like to be with people intimately who decry your ultimate conceptions and faith. In fact, we avoid them. But since he himself became a saturated desire, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Jans. The Vishnu Jans also liked his association, since he became a personal Bhagava. Thus, both the son and the father were completely cognizant of transcendental knowledge in Brahman, and afterwards both of them became absorbed in the personal feature of the Supreme Lord. The question as how Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the narration of the Bhagavatam is thus completely answered. So the second question has been answered. Okay, are there any questions? Okay, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hare Bo. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, how do you do well?
Listen, welcome back Maharaj, you know, nice to hear you from New York.
Thank you.
And this
nice
is the verse.
You
can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, this is the very dear verse, you know, that I always try to meditate. And you spoke so nicely about the Atmaram, because this is and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with this verse.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, you already spoke, you know, that, you know, this verse, you know, tells that personality of Godhead, that he is so attractive that even Sukadeva Goswami himself became attracted. He was not in worshipping Lord in the mood, you know, like the devotees do. But when he heard his Lord's qualities, then you know he became attracted. So you spoke so nicely today. You know, it is very dear my verse to me in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you,
Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Malati.
Hi Maharaj, it's Shannon.
Shannon and Malati, Hare Krishna. It's so great that you could come yesterday, and I hope you'll get on here a few more times.
I hope so too. Thank you for a great class.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Hanan and Surit. Thank you for a nice class.
Great to hear you. Good. I'm glad I'm back.
You have,
I mean, this is what I do. Yeah. I have time, yes.
I was just wondering, one thing that you said, it's about the Bhagavatam that describe a world of perfect relationship, and I like it very much. And reflecting on my experience and looking how devotees sometimes deal with each other, how is it possible to explain that we have this ideal of perfect relationship and love and all those things, and sometimes there's a lot of tension and quarrel among devotees. How would you maybe explain it a little bit?
Because we're in the world of imperfect relationships, you know, and it's just like it's a prison, and then there's, you know, outside the prison, let's say in a perfect world, there's good citizens and bad citizens. So maybe some of the bad citizens will get some instruction, but, you know, you can imagine that some of it lingers on, you know. And also the fact that to actually socialize the values of Krishna consciousness, share them, you need a corporation or an institution. And that's another factor. So, it, you know, the authority structures and, you know, there's so many factors that go in. And I think the other factor is that Krishna consciousness brings a large amount of people together. And I think there was a sociologist, he described that there's three stages of community. One, there's no conflict. That's the first stage because people are not even interested in trying to, you know, get together. And then the second stage is this conflict. That's good. They're meeting, they're trying to get together. And finally, they'll have mature relationships. But because Prabhupada kept the society together, it leads to a lot of struggle. Because normally what happens when a great acharya leaves, normally what happens is you know, they just faction off. And they break off into their own groups, you know, rather than perform the austerity of cooperation. You know, so it tends to keep a lot of people together that normally wouldn't be together. So that's it, and people are not mature. But my own vision is it takes a while, but people do mature. You know, and they do mature. There's some people, we just have so much baggage and so many, you know, and who are we? You know, we're not the most cultured, functional people, the people of Kali Yuga. We're not so functional you know, so we're not practiced in relationships, you know. And the fact of the matter, to spread Krishna consciousness and instill that faith, who came? People who, you know, can drop their families. You know, they weren't attached. So in one sense, it left them free for Krishna consciousness, but it didn't create, you know, some psychological balance, you know. Because there's people who already kind of, you know, look at their psychology, we're already detached from our parents. But some may have had loving parents and things like that. And, you know, and it's a historical time, too. It's with the hippies. Movement started with the hippies. You know, so people still have a lot of residue of sinful life and things in them that they're working out. But we also have to look at ourselves and see to what extent we contribute to that same type of thing. But a lot of times it'd be really nice if I didn't have anything to do with someone, you know? It's my next door neighbor, and, you know, I can walk my dog, and when I pass them, I can smile, you know? It's really nice. Now let's get together in a unit and try to do something and try to make us one. Well, I have my vision, I have, you know, their vision. But I'm kind of hopeful, but I just think that you know, it's not a natural society until you really have elders, and I think that's happening now. Okay, is that okay? Helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. It gives a lot of hope. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for a nice question. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj. This is Atmananda here.
Atmananda, Haribo. Great to hear from you. Thank you.
There's Hare Krishna.
Haribo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Henry.
Okay, Henry, I dropped you a line. I don't know if you got a chance to check yet. But I sent you an email. Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Then we can close for the day. Thank you. I'm Shikopa Tarugis, Dr. Visit.